Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I am joined in studio by Orla Walsh. Before we get into what you're here to chat about with me, Orla, we've just been talking this morning about kids and just the fact that they have no filter and they just unashamedly say whatever pops into their head. They can be rude, is what I'm trying to say. Have you any experience of a kid being rude to you?
Oh yeah, on the daily. So I suppose more my son, who's 3.5, and last night he was asking me why my eyes were so crinkly. And I was like, I said, you know, it's in part due to you. It's definitely your fault.
But what do you laugh or do you say?
Because there's no intent behind it, you know, they're not meaning to be mean. Like, even when they try to be mean, I remember my son really searching the back of his mind for words to be mean to my husband. And he goes, "Daddy, you're slimy." You know, so when they're trying to be mean, they're not really able. But yeah, no, accidentally all the time.
See, my guy's not talking yet. And I'm terrified if he's going to start saying mean things to me.
He will. But you become immune to it. It's fine.
Oh, my God. Anyway, listen, if you have been fasting for 16 hours a day, I have bad news for you, because it looks like you've been wasting your time. There's new research that says that the best way to lose weight is with a big breakfast. So Orla Walsh is a dietitian. She's going to explain it a little bit more to us. I know this might confuse a lot of people, Orla. So let's just start off. Where is this information coming from?
This information, this study was done in Aberdeen and it was released this year. They did a report around 4 years ago kind of postulating that it's probably a good idea to eat a big breakfast, and perhaps that's good in terms of a metabolic point of view, that your metabolism might run faster for the day if you did it. So they did the study and that wasn't the case. A lot of studies have looked at this big breakfast thing, like eating like a king at breakfast, and a lot of them come back and go, hunger is better managed. And this is what this study said. Hunger is better managed across the day. And with nutrition, it's very much a science, but eating is behavior. And if you want to manipulate behavior, you know, when we eat our calories is important. So this study, you know, when we combine this study with all the other studies done on this topic, which there are many, what they're really showing is hunger is better managed, satiety. So how hungry you get, how much food it takes to fill you, is better managed when you have a bigger breakfast versus eating in the evening time. However, what this study also looked at was things like blood sugar control and cholesterol. Now, because this study also manipulated the diet so that people lost weight, we can't really postulate on bigger breakfasts and these blood results. What's more interesting is when they do these studies and keep people weight stable and then see what happens to blood results, cholesterol and the like. And those sorts of studies have been done. In one study, they showed that eating a bigger breakfast and eating less as the day went on had really good improvements in terms of cholesterol and blood pressure and lots of important things like insulin and blood sugar control, waist circumference even. In another study, they looked at women with PCOS. So that's 1 in 10 women where they have slightly elevated testosterone levels or androgens, what is kind of sometimes called the male hormone, but sex hormone, but women have it too. And again, in these women, insulin resistance came down by half, testosterone came down by half, and a significant number of women in this study ovulated. So it's showing positive results all the time. And they're kind of trying to understand it. Is it, you know, doesn't matter where the calories come from, how much, like what percentage of the calories throughout the day should you be eating at breakfast? So there's still loads of questions unanswered.
Well, I was always a big breakfast person. Breakfast is my favourite meal of the day, always has been. But I definitely had a period where I hopped on the intermittent fasting bandwagon, which, if you don't know anybody, it's where you would spend an X amount of time not eating and your first meal of the day might be around lunchtime. And I always found when I did it, I just felt like crap. And your performance level in the morning and work is just never up to standard.
Yeah, so this study looked at metabolism and that was their main thing, what happened to your metabolism. And it didn't matter when you eat, when you ate, you still had the same metabolic rate throughout the day. But when we look at other kind of ways of how do we feel, when people eat a big breakfast, they can be more likely to suffer from reflux that night. So again, it's about how you feel. Or if you eat a bigger breakfast, your energy levels can be better across the day. Cravings can be a lot less. So cravings for refined carbohydrates and sugar. So it's, you know, it's important that when we're looking at these things, we're not just looking at weight on the scales, but also how we feel and how our body feels internally in terms of blood results and how it responds to it. With intermittent fasting, it was all the rage because it looked really exciting and it looked like it wasn't just restricting how many calories people ate. It was actually doing more than that. But then last year, all the studies kind of, I guess, poo-pooed it and made it something that we now don't really do with people, because last year a lot of the studies showed muscle loss and nearly no one can afford to lose muscle. Very few people, especially women, especially those over the age of 40. So intermittent fasting has now kind of been put on the back burner and no one's really doing it anymore. Well, if they know not to. And even when it comes to intermittent fasting, what people were, and it sounds like you were too, interpreting it as skip breakfast and just have lunch and dinner. And that's definitely not what the research is showing, because even this research that we're talking about today was looking at what we call chrononutrition, which is eating according to daylight hours, really, and when your body would like to eat food. And when we look at intermittent fasting, actually what I would interpret that 8-hour window where people eat and 16-hour fast, I would interpret the 8-hour window as starting early in the morning and ending early in the day. So it is very much still have your breakfast, lunch and dinner, but cap it at that. Kind of how people used to eat, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, but doesn't it just go to show, just don't hop on the trends.
Yeah.
Do your research. Talk to somebody like you. Talk to a dietitian and find out what is actually beneficial for you, rather than, because like you said, it was all the rage. Every second post on Instagram was about intermittent fasting. And people then think, oh my God, this must work.
I know. And
it's dangerous.
It is dangerous because social media is often wrong. And I spend most of my time on Instagram busting nutrition myths. But even the keto buzz, you know, people were getting that wrong. They thought that it was high protein, low carb. And no, that's not what it was. It's actually low protein, low carb, high fat. And people weren't getting that. And they were showing pictures of eating a steak. And I was pulling my hair out going, you're not in keto right now. You don't understand the science. But we also need to kind of go, okay, well, it also needs to suit the individual. I know the majority of people are overweight these days, so maybe they will, you know, managing appetite is really important for them. But take all the people who need to gain weight or struggle to eat enough, or older people who struggle to eat enough. And again, this information is really handy because if they have a big breakfast in the morning, it will make them less likely to eat food in the rest of the day. So we can actually manipulate this to our use in, just say, nursing homes or residential homes.
But okay, so my question then is, what constitutes big? So like a big breakfast for some people, they might be running to the fridge now, defrosting the waffles and getting ready to put on a massive fry. What is considered a big breakfast?
So I was taken aback when I looked at the details of this study, because it was 1,700 calories with 45% of the calories coming in at breakfast. And I was like, oh, grand, that's my typical breakfast. But in this study, it was considered an extra large breakfast. And for most people, it would be. So most people, if just say they eat 2,000 calories a day, maybe 20% of that or 0% of that will come in at breakfast, a third of it at lunch and the rest after 5 p.m. So in this study, they flipped it and they said 45% of your calories coming in at breakfast, 35% at lunch and 20% at dinner. So that's the sort of thing they did. Now, they did tailor it to people's resting metabolic rate. Mm-hmm. So tailored it to that individual. But for example, someone like, and I'll pick on my husband in this, he might need 4,000 calories a day. So getting him to eat 2,000 at breakfast is highly unrealistic.
So how do you do it then? Like, so if somebody doesn't fancy a massive breakfast, you recently actually tweeted a really simple meal plan, like for breakfast, oats, milk, nuts, fruit.
Yeah. So carbs, protein, fats, fruit and veg. So carbs could be oats, milk would be the protein, nuts would be the fat, and fruit and veg would be the colour. Or it could be bread, eggs, peanut butter, and some veg on the side.
Well, I think that sounds delicious, Orla. So
that's what I have this morning.
I'm totally on board for this. Orla Walsh, thanks for coming in to talk Big Breakfast. So where can people get dietary info?
Orla Walsh Nutrition on Instagram, and that's where my website is, orlawalshnutrition.ie as well.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.